I'm going to ask you to stand. If it's difficult to stand, just put your hand over your heart. As I read from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter, beginning with the 67th verse. Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his prophets, holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we be rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the ways of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. And then going over to chapter 3. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. In the end of the Old Covenant, what we call the Old Testament, there was a prophet named Malachi. And Malachi's words to the people, as we have it recorded in Scripture, are very brief. He tells them, God has been faithful. He has protected us. He's rescued us from our enemies. He's provided all our needs. And yet the people have not been faithful. In the time of Malachi, people were saying, it does no good to serve God. The wicked flourish. People get rich. People do terrible, awful things and get away with it. There's just no profit in serving God. I don't even know if we need God anyway. So Malachi warned them. He said that attitude would bring judgment. And he called them to repent. But as God always does when he delivers a harsh word, he always gives hope. And he said, a Messiah is coming. And also foretold of the birth of a prophet. A prophet that would prepare the way for the Messiah. And then something unprecedented happened. There were 400 years of silence. The last thing God spoke to his people was, there will be a Messiah, there will be a prophet that will prepare the way, and 400 years passed. The people said, we don't need God. And God said, okay. Have at. So Israel, being the geopolitical football that they are, because their geography places them in between the great powers of the world, much as they are still. And they relied totally on God because they did not have the physical power to protect themselves. And as many an Israeli has said, they have the only country in the Middle East with no oil. They have nothing. They don't have the resources for power that come from wealth. So here they are. Then and now. A political football. A geographic football. Back then, they were conquered. They were conquered by the Babylonians. Then they were conquered by Alexander the Great, who then turned them over to Egypt, then turned them over to the Romans. 400 years, longer than the United States of America has existed, almost twice as long. God said nothing. You have to wonder. It wasn't that nothing was going on, by the way. The people wrote down a lot of what is in our Testament today, in the Old Testament. A lot of that was written during this 400 years. You know, what had happened before, the history was finally recorded because there was no prophet to repeat it. And they examined themselves, and people broke up into their various groups and, you know, blamed each other for God's silence. Because, you know, whenever anything's going on, it's always somebody else's fault. You ever notice that? You know, if something's going on, it's somebody else's fault. You know, if God's not blessing, you know, your church, then it's those people over there's fault. It's the holy rollers' fault. It's the humanistic Christians' fault. It's the liberals' fault. It's the conservatives' fault. I've got news for you, people. It's all our fault. Just like it was all their fault. But they broke up into their little groups, and they had people who followed the law completely, and they had people who were more, we'll say it, liberal in their interpretation of Scripture and in how they were working with the Gentiles. And we had all of this going on. It sounds so familiar, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound familiar? And in all of those 400 years, God said nothing. We don't need God. So he let them see what it was like. But he didn't forget them. I have to tell you that when we said that you could no longer pray in school or teach children the Ten Commandments, I really was concerned that we were going to have another blackout. Because we were saying we don't need him. But he didn't do that. But this time he did, and he said, all right. But he didn't forget, and one day the dawn breaks. And he goes to a man named Zacharias. He's ministering in the temple, and he goes to Zacharias and says, you're going to have a son. You're going to name him John. He will prepare the way for the Messiah. And John said, huh? Okay, that's not a literal translation, but he did say, you know, this was another one of those couples that were too old to have children. By the way, all you couples out there that think it can't happen, God has a sense of humor. And so there they were, and they didn't have any children, and Elizabeth was past really childbearing, and Zechariah was old, but yet God spoke into that barrenness and brought forth John. And Zechariah, because he did not believe the angel of the Lord and ask for a sign, was struck mute until John was born. And the words of the scripture that we read today were the first words spoken by a prophet from God in 400 years. And those first words were words of deliverance and salvation and mercy, forgiveness, spoke of peace. But folks, it spoke of one other thing, repentance. Repentance. Say it with me. Repentance. Repentance, because all of those things that God was offering, he was not offering to those who would trample it in the ground. You know, what is it the Bible says, casting pearls before swine? If you give a pig the most beautiful, perfect set of pearls in the world, what will the pig do? Eat it, probably, but trample it on the ground. Because it means nothing. God give this without repentance. Then the question becomes, what is repentance? And we tend to think of it as being sorry that we sinned and asking for forgiveness, right? Let's, you know, we're sorry. You know, and sometimes I'm sorry for what I've done, and sometimes I'm just sorry I got caught. Am I alone? You know, sometimes I did exactly what I wanted to and got really sorry that I got caught at it. And sometimes we do exactly what we want to, and then we're real sorry that God got upset with that. But that's not all that repentance is. It's not just being sorry and receiving forgiveness. How often do we pray, forgive us where we failed you? But that is only the first step of repentance, because folks, repentance that counts is realigning ourselves with God's will. Then the part that we did not read of the scripture from chapter 3, right after John is preaching for people to repent and to symbolize that repentance by being baptized, he also said, when they came and asked him questions, the soldiers came and said, what do we need to do to repent? And John said, don't extort money from the people. And the general populace came and said, what do we need to do to repent? And he said, if you've got two cloaks, give one away. If you've got food and someone's hungry, give it away. Care for those that need your care. So basically, in all of that, we're not going to go through all of chapter 3. What he said was what we preached about 2 weeks ago, the three simple rules: do no harm, do good, stay in love with God. Yeah, that was an invitation. Everybody say it. Do no harm, do good, stay in love with God. Say it again. Do no harm, do good, stay in love with God. That is part of our repentance. Just being sorry doesn't cut it. You have to realign yourself with God's will. And after we realign ourselves with God's will, after that repentance, it says the light comes. Anybody here ever been in the dark? I mean, really in the dark? Yeah. I've been in the dark. I have been in the physical dark, and I have been in the spiritual dark. I have, you know, I loved it, the experience of when we went to Tuckaleechee Caverns, and we go down there, and in a lot of caves, I think, do this, then they turn the lights out, and there is no light at all. They turn all the lights out, and you literally cannot see your hand in front of your face. You know, you end up touching your nose, wondering where your hand is, because you can't see anything at all. Sometimes that's what our spiritual darkness feels like. Sometimes it's just like we don't understand. Sometimes we need to do something, but we don't know what. Sometimes we are so deep in our sin that we can see no way out. And I have met people who have broken my heart by saying, I've sunk so low that God won't save me. Which is actually the most arrogant statement anybody can make. I can actually sin so much God couldn't forgive me. I mean, you know, stop and think about that. I can do something that God can't do anything about. Hello. But they feel that low, that darkness in their spirit, in their soul, and they need that light of hope. They need the hope. They need somebody to tell them, prepare the way of the Lord. Because all you need to do, all you need to do is accept it. And then realign yourself with God's will. You have to wonder about sometimes, you know, like I say, sometimes I was just, you know, sorry I got caught. Sometimes we don't want to change. We just don't want to pay the consequences for our actions. Am I alone? Am I the only one that's ever been there? No, I didn't think so. I know y'all pretty well. Just saying. But sometimes we don't want to change. That's not true repentance. This time of year is the time that we remember that God brought light into a dark place. God brought hope. He spoke into silence. He gave us the greatest gift of all. But we need to prepare ourselves to receive that gift. So what have you done to prepare for Christmas? All right, let's take a poll. How many of you all have at least some of your Christmas decorations up? Let me see your hands. All right, that's more than I figured would. I'm not sure I'm going to do it this year because, let's face it, last year, when did I get them down last year? It was May, I think. No, I never made it all the way to August, okay? But, you know, this year my goal was before Valentine's Day, but that's the reason I'm not sure, because I never take them down once I get them up. But a lot of times we prepare our house. How many of y'all are going to somebody's house to eat, or people are coming to your house to eat during the holidays? Okay, that got everybody. Are you going to prepare for that? Yeah, I'm going to prepare for it. You're going to, you know, clean, kind of, sort of. And you're going to plan a menu. And you're going to decorate, and you're going to do all those things. And we do. How many people, oh, this is a big one. How many of y'all got all your shopping done? 5 of us. Because I'm done, too. No, they're not wrapped, okay. Not wrapped.
same thing I got you last year. Yeah, it was on sale this year, Leon.
But you know, in all the hubbub and in all the gift giving and the celebrating and the being with family, we forget, people, that the whole point of this season for the Christian is to prepare yourself to receive again the Lord Jesus Christ. Prepare yourself. Examine yourself. Now, I know that the people in this room are all pretty good people. Now, I've got some people giving the other person an eye, but most of the people in this room are really good people. And sometimes we forget that the good people have a harder time repenting than those who have been in the depths of something. Because we tend to think of ourselves as pretty good. But we need to examine ourselves. Are you really in alignment with God's will? Are you truly sorrowful when you sin? You do sin. Do you regularly ask for forgiveness and determined to change? By the way, if you're asking forgiveness for the same sin over and over and over and over, you have not repented. Quit doing that one and pick a new sin. No, that's not what I mean. And Jasmine said, okay. I didn't mean that, Jasmine. Really, though, folks, if you have to keep repenting the same thing, if you are repenting your use of language, then you have not repented. If you keep saying over and over, I'm sorry, you have not repented. If you have to keep repenting and saying I'm sorry because you lose your temper, you have not repented. If your honesty sometimes comes into question and you say, God, I'm sorry, you know, please forgive me for not being honest, and then you're still not honest, you have not repented. Folks, repent. I say now as the prophets of old, I say now as the last prophet John said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.